Welcome back to Full Contact Radio, your place for mixed martial arts takes. That's DJ. I'm Case. We're about to get into some shit. UFC 238 happened this last weekend. And at the top, what they dubbed as the People's Main Event, which I think they should owe Ariel Helwani some fucking money for marketing it like that.
Yeah.
Was Cerrone and Ferguson. By far, that was getting the most attention from all platforms. Even though there were two title fights on the line that proved to be amazing fights in their own right. But the card wasn't looked at as completely stacked, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, when the third fight from the end is considered the fucking big deal, it's...
Yeah, I actually forgot that just now that it wasn't the main event.
And it
I completely
been.
Forgot about that, yeah.
It should have been, but it wouldn't have went five rounds anyway. So yeah. At the end of the day, it's whatever. But this card was fucking badass, man. There was the most significant strikes ever landed in a pay-per-view.
Damn.
Several people
stat.
Set records. Even Joanna Calderwood, JoJo Calderwood, she ended up losing her fight by decision, set the fucking record for amount of leg kicks landed. This is actually kind of, in a three-round fight, Aljamain Sterling set the record for bantamweight for strikes landed.
Damn.
And that's that there's a lot of busy Dominic Cruz's and TJ Dill. That division's had some dudes.
Aljo's resilient, man.
Dude.
Because he's taking some ass beatings, you know.
Dude, he looked like the fucking Matrix. Out there on Pedro Munoz, who you know is a killer.
Yeah, man.
The way his movement is so unorthodox, man. And you see this throughout time, is you'll see someone like the first few times you saw Dom Cruz, when he got into that zone, it was like, well, shit, you can't hit the guy.
Yeah.
The way he's moving, you can't simulate that in practice. His timing, his rhythm, you can't get your own shit going because you can't figure him out.
Yeah.
So you're, this whole time, you're trying to figure out this puzzle that there's no answer to. And like you said, sometimes there's a amount of time where someone is special. And they ride that wave. If
yep.
Dom hadn't got hurt, who knows how many fights he'd have got in during that time period.
Yeah.
He might still be in it. I don't think so, but hell, we ain't seen a guy in 3 years.
Yeah, and we didn't get to see him up against Barao when Barao
was the killer.
Killing it.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, would Dom's reign have... would him and Barao have never happened if Dom never gets injured? You know what
yeah.
I mean? Or does Henan Barao, because he was unbeatable for a hot minute, man. There was a time when they were talking about him being pound for pound the best. So, you know, it's hard to tell how that would have worked out if Dom never got
Dom
hurt.
Dom never gets hurt.
It was like Dom was hurt long enough to Barao to have his career.
Yeah, to have his special moment.
Yeah, by the time Dom came back, he had already been beat by TJ.
I'll declare this. I believe Aljo just entered his.
Really?
I think Aljamain Sterling is now in his.
Man, that's crazy because he has been knocked out cold.
Yeah, the Marlon Moraes one was scary.
And one dude head kicked him, right? Or was that...
That was Moraes. Moraes kneed him.
Okay.
He was like going for a takedown. And I don't think Moraes even meant to hit him with that knee. He was going to kick. But the distance got covered so quick by Aljo,
yeah.
It just happened. And it was scary.
Yeah, it was, I mean, brutal.
They went
yeah.
to commercial and he had
that
moved.
Was Marlon Moraes yeah. that did that to him? Okay.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and talk about that division now, because that division... Man, Henry Cejudo.
Yeah, I know you hate his guts, but
yeah, well,
man.
I can't stand him, and I'll be rooting for dudes to beat him.
Yeah,
but make
well, especially Moraes.
But make no fucking mistake, that dude has got it, man. Right now, he's making a claim that not only is he the best... UFC fighter of all time. He's saying he's the best combat athlete of all time. With a gold medal and two division champ. That's
pretty
fucking
good.
Special, man.
Yeah, it
that is.
Is
special.
And then I told you when Ben Askren and Chael were doing a video on best trash talkers, and they were cutting through. Well, it was him, and he's talking shit with all these awards behind him. And they have these plaques on the wall that are shaped like a stop sign. They're shaped, you know what I mean? And Chael was like, oh my God, look at all those stop signs. Like, him and Ben Askren were both like, holy shit, you know what I mean?
They were both phenomenal.
Exactly,
yeah.
So, when I'm listening to them guys, like, they're, you know, when they pointed that out, and there was a bunch of them, and, like, they were just like, probably never had one in their career, you know? Well, their collegiate career, I'm sure.
Yeah. Well,
or
Cejudo,
maybe it's Olympian, I have no idea.
Cejudo didn't even wrestle in college. He went straight from high school to the Olympics. He tried out for the Olympics team. Won a gold. Youngest male wrestler in U.S. history to win a gold at the time. I believe that's been broken since. Kyle Snyder from Ohio State.
Yeah.
But aside from that, he only made one Olympic team. You know, he didn't make it the next time around. Didn't he make the team?
No shit.
Yeah.
Cejudo?
Yeah. He won the gold at 121 pounds. 4 years later, didn't make it out of the national tournament.
He must have been way hungrier the first time or something.
He was ranked, I think, 32 in the world when he won it, which is like Buster Douglas odds.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's crazy. You know...
So he caught everybody by surprise. He wasn't supposed to win it.
Yeah, okay. So maybe he was a fluke. Who knows?
Maybe. But I'll tell you what. Two division champion UFC, and you could be like, all right, I don't think you beat Demetrius. I don't. I watched the fight twice. Don't think he won.
Demetrius didn't have a problem with it, though.
No, but he's a humble dude, man. You know what I mean? He ain't gonna cause... When's he gonna cause the scene? You know what I mean? Like, he's like, fuck it. He went to Japan with it. You know what I mean? He don't care. But, so, I think... So, whatever. Then he does beat TJ. Does an early stoppage? Slightly, but he was whooping that ass. Man, he was just going straight through TJ like he wasn't nothing.
Yeah.
This weekend, what I saw him do, I got mad respect for Cejudo. Because that first round, Marlon Moraes was dealing an ass whooping. I mean, he was keeping Cejudo at a weird distance where Cejudo couldn't do shit. And he was just beating the fuck out of him, dude. It was like, okay, well, this is going to be over soon. This is why you don't come up and wait.
His striking's dope.
And especially with his kicks, because he uses his kicks to set up his hands. He doesn't enter with his hands.
Yeah.
He does this, like, run-in leg kick thing. It took Cejudo off his feet several fucking times, man.
Probably got an unbelievable balance.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, And he said he sprained his ankle earlier in the week or whatever. That was...
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever, man. You showed
especially
up to fight.
Douchey guys like him.
Yeah, he showed up to fight. But then the second round came, and it all just changed. First off, I think Marlon throws too much heat. And it took a lot out of him, thrown like he was. And Cejudo was able to weather that and get inside. But there was a moment in that fight that was straight out of Anderson Silva, Rich Franklin. Somehow Cejudo got him in the clinch, and it was like Marlon Moraes didn't know what the fuck to do. And Cejudo kneed him in the face like 8 times.
Huh.
It didn't take none of them took him out, but you can't tell me that don't change a fight.
Yeah.
It was just weird.
Absolutely.
You remember how helpless Rich Franklin was?
It
was
my God. You know, like nobody ever gets the plum clinch anymore either. Like, it's hard to believe that...
It makes sense if you're a taller guy, because you have the leverage to hold them down with your forearms. But Cejudo was, like, way smaller than Moraes by fight time. It was like, oh, fuck, Moraes is, like, 160 pounds. Like, this looks weird. And Cejudo might have been 140. I don't know. I mean, 142 or some shit.
Yeah.
He did not have no size advantage by any means. And Moraes was helpless. When he got in a plum clinch, it was like he was confused. It's like, dude, you're Brazilian.
What kind of wrestling was Cejudo? Would he gold medal in Greco-Roman or freestyle?
Freestyle.
Damn. See, I was going to say, that makes sense then, as far as Greco-Roman. Because
upper
said,
clinch.
Upper clinch, yeah. That's what Dan Henderson...
No, but think about it. Look back. Do you remember when Demetrius fought Cejudo? Demetrius did that to him the first time they fought?
Yeah, he went right through him like a...
Plum clinched him, and it was like Cejudo didn't know what the fuck to do.
And... Yeah, and had him out of there inside of a round, wasn't it? I remember that fight being quick.
Yeah, like 3 minutes.
Made it look easy as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, and... Yeah.
Which leads me to believe that Cejudo's evolving at a rapid rate.
Yeah.
That was a position he could even deal with.
Yeah.
So now he's mastering it, you know what I mean? And on top of what all the other gifts that he does have. And he was able to throw these crosses when he would close the distance and land hard. Hard shots on Moraes, softened him up real good, you know what I mean? And then he got him out of there, man. I mean, he got him out of there. The ref stopped it. Now, Moraes wasn't losing consciousness, but he wasn't fighting back.
Yeah.
He was on the ground and just getting folded like an accordion. Fucking... There was Cejudo just dealing out ass whoopings. Fight gets stopped. Cejudo goes right back to the king of cringe. Gets on the mic. Aljo already had a hell of a performance earlier in the night. Peter Yan won. Pietra Yan won. He's another guy everybody's trying to hype up. So who's Cejudo call out? Dom Cruz, Uriah Faber, and Cody Garbrandt. That's who he calls out.
Okay.
Dom Cruz ain't fought in 3 years. Uriah's 40, just got back from a retirement. And Cody's coming off 2 knockout losses.
Weird.
Super weird. No, I get it. Aljo's not the name that's going to draw. Those names will draw.
Yeah.
People know who Uriah Faber is. Dom Cruz. And out of all three of those, Dom's the most deserving just because the rep, what he's done. You know what I mean?
And he presents the most likely challenge, even though I think he whoops all three of their asses. Dom's the one. Because, you know, Cody, obviously.
Cody had a better
chin.
Chin and, like, technician, like... Whoever's guiding him, who's steering that ship, if Cody fights cautious and smart...
Like he did when he fought Dom.
He could fuck anyone up in that division.
But he gets fucking crazy. Like his last fight, he got angry and just fucking started throwing like an idiot.
But I'm guessing dudes with neck tattoos don't make great decisions.
I know.
Just where I'm at. You know, gets reckless and that's... So the right guy will put you on your ass, you know?
I can't believe Paige VanZant was with him. Like, not that he's ugly or anything. He's just, like you said, the neck tattoo and his attitude, you know what I mean? He doesn't seem like a brilliant person.
Nah, he seems like a slightly smarter version of Mike Perry.
He just doesn't seem like the type of dude
that could pull that.
She would get with. Not even that. Like, I could see him getting a hot girl, just not that kind of hot girl. Like, I could see him getting more of, like, a crazier type of hot chick. But Paige Van Zandt is, like, you know, off of a fucking sitcom or something. You know what I mean?
Pure as the driven snow.
Fuller House or something. I could see her on some bullshit like that.
All right, so Cejudo now. 125, 135. Champ. What does he do next? Because Dana said he's going to let him defend both. Which means he's got to jump. He's got to go back and forth then. You know what I mean? There's no way about it.
Yeah, bantamweight and flyweight.
So he's got to go do the flyweight thing. But Joe, the only person that you can say right now is a contender is Joey Benavidez. He actually has a fight at the end of this month.
Where are we at, though, when he's the contender?
Yeah.
Well, you know what I mean? Like,
and that's another thing. I
like Joseph Benavidez, too.
I'll take that. He has a win over Henry
Cejudo. He's been around forever.
Which is a bullshit win.
Didn't they coach tough against each other?
That sounds right. That sounds right to me. But here's what I'll take a step back to the greatest combat athlete of all time. The 125 is a weak division.
Dream's got a claim in that, being a Dream.
K-1 K-1 Grand Prix.
Yeah. He beat Bonavari.
I got so many facets to talk about, I guess, when I start thinking about it. So I respect some journalists. Some journalists are bullshit. Some of them actually approach with a thoughtful tack that you could. Like someone like Luke Thomas, I respect that dude's opinion, man. He trains. He looks at the game from a different perspective than most people do when they get caught up in the hype of things. He's able to separate and look at it for what it really is most of the time. Because he started talking about greatest combat athlete all the time. It's kind of unfair to put anyone from MMA on that in his mind, which I think the opposite. He thinks it's more impressive for someone like Lomachenko, whose skill is so honed in. He's the best at what he does, and it's this one specific thing. He thinks that's more impressive. And he said that Lomachenko's striking is light years above anyone in MMA. His hands are.
Yeah.
His footwork is. His striking?
No.
Like,
Marlon Moraes will fuck him up standing up.
Word up. That's what I'm thinking. I'm like, I think...
He would kick the fuck out of his legs.
He fights from 139 to 147, I believe, is Lomachenko.
Yeah, so that's right in there.
So you want to fight Max Holloway?
Yeah, Max Holloway. They're going to kick the fuck out of his legs. First off, we know that so much of that stuff doesn't work. The stance... The shoulder rolling, none of that. Like, he's going to kick the fuck out of his legs and his body. And then probably eventually... And by the way, people always would talk about... I would always have these arguments with people. Like, if they could get him to the ground... Well, guess what? Go back and watch any Mike Tyson fight. Watch any Mike Tyson fight where he was at his most dominant, just fucking running through dudes. And some of those 45-second fights, 30-second fights... Even those 30-second fights, there's three or four clinches before the fucking big knockout happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If there's not a ref there, that's how easy it is to get a hold of somebody.
And if that dude's a judo master who gets a hold of you, you're going to hang your head.
Yes. You know, so now granted, these are boxers. He's trying to do that too, but still, it's easy to get a hold of guys. You know, that's why the grappler always usually beats the striker when that's the... You know, what it comes down to.
It presents something that the striker has to worry about.
Yeah.
Which affects how they strike. And all of a sudden, the grappler has better striking because he's not worried about you doing that to him.
Yeah, I disagree, too. I'm with you. Like, it is impressive when a guy is crazy at one thing, you know. It's a thing of beauty. But it's not as impressive to me as a guy who can master it all. Think about Rory McDonald. He's going to be able to beat the fuck out of most wrestlers in his... if you take a straight-up wrestler, you know what I mean? He'll beat their ass. If you take a straight... in his weight, we're talking... if you take boxers, he'll fuck them up in their weight class. Take a jiu-jitsu guy, he'll fuck him up. In a real fight, I'm talking about... all those disciplines right there, he will fuck all any other 170 or up, you know, at their, you know, he ain't going to beat them at their own game, of course, but he'll make them play another game. But he's so high level in all the games that he can't.
If he's smart about it, That's the reason why he mouthed the Robbie fight. He didn't have to fight Robbie like that. He could have done way different game plan, way safer.
Like he did Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, he could have just took a different approach to it and made that fight way easier on him than he chose to.
It wouldn't have been the
masterpiece.
No.
And thank God he did because we got the moments that we got.
But he gave up some of his body for that
fight. He gave up a piece of his soul, man. Yeah, there's no way you get, you know, the experience, you might be better for the experience, but not for the action.
No.
What your body went through in your mind and
your brain.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's, you
your durability. Like, you can't have. Like, I can't imagine him ever having another one of those, man. A fight like that again. I mean, that took. I had to take a lot out of him, man.
I feel like it definitely did. But anyway, so back to Cejudo being the greatest combat athlete of all time. So I think the divisions that he's the in charge of now, if you're looking at 125, 135.
Yep.
135's way harder than 125.
Yep.
There are way a better cast
it's
of characters.
It's an older division. And
older
it's...
division, but as you go up in weight, the danger gets real. Like,
yeah.
More dudes have knockout power at 135 than they do at 125.
Also, there's the talent pool's not as big. There aren't as many 135-pound guys. The reason 170 and 155 are so richly a middleweight, those three divisions, because that's what most people are. So the talent pool is broader for those. You know, so I think when you get down to 125, the reason there's not a lot of great of them, because there's not a lot of little people. The talent pool isn't that big you're pulling from.
Well, and the countries that it would be big hasn't really developed a mixed martial arts skill set, because there are tons of countries.
Yeah, Mexico, Panama,
Venezuela. You go anywhere deep down south, there are smaller people.
Outside of Brazil, when you but none of the others... you never hear of a Panamanian fighter or, you know, like Mexico's got such a great fight history. Now, they've got a few. I mean, obviously, Kane, Cejudo himself.
There's a ton of dudes.
There are. But it's I guess it's just not, it's boxing still the main thing in Mexico.
Dana's trying to change that. They're building a PI in Mexico City. They've already bought the dirt to put it there. They're going to try to cultivate as much talent as they can.
They should
there.
Because that's the place, man.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of the biggest cities in the world. And if you provide a place where you can nurture some talent, you're going to get some stud athletes at lower weight classes.
I know he's not Mexican, but he's a Mexican fighter to me. Tell me, Roberto Duran wouldn't translate to MMA.
Yeah.
His personality, his skill set. Like, you take that dude, he would have been, like, his speed,
you give that
power.
Dude, you give that dude 4-ounce gloves.
man. Yeah. Balance the whole 9 yards, dude. Like, and let him
so
do that.
They're trying to change it. So that might increase 20 years from now. Those might be real deep-ass divisions, but right now they're not.
Yeah.
So
and the Cubans, too. We need to get more Cubans.
And I'm not saying being the king of 125 ain't shit. It obviously is. But to me, it didn't put you on the pedestal of someone like DC, who did it at light heavy and heavy. Just there's more danger. You faced more fire. You had to climb bigger obstacles to get to where you're at. So I can't put Cejudo on that, even as far as MMA. I will say this. You got to respect the kid's gangster.
Yeah,
you got
absolutely.
To.
He's in the conversation.
He's a fucking threat. Yeah, dude, he is now. He is. You can't take the gold medal away from him, even though there are wrestlers who have tons of those. He got one.
But he got a UFC belt.
Got two UFC belts.
Yeah, two UFC belts.
Now we're in rarefied air. Daniel Cormier didn't medal in the Olympics.
Yeah, he placed seventh.
I still hold Daniel higher than him, though.
Yeah, I do, too.
Daniel made two Olympic teams. Cejudo made one. There's something there, too. Daniel did it for longer. He wasn't supernova at it.
You know, Couture was an alternate in three different Olympics?
Yeah.
That's 12 years,
12
dude,
years
that
of being
he
that
was
level, yeah.
good enough to be an alternate. Like, so... somebody had to bow out. He never made the Olympic team. That sucks for him. But the fact that he was good enough to make the alternate all three times, like the Schultz brothers, they gold medaled in two different Olympics. And I think, man, one of them even did it three different, man.
Yeah.
Medaled at least the better one, the one that got killed.
Yeah.
But both of them medaled twice, you know, so for 4 years they stayed hungry enough to do it again.
So Connor won his champ, he earned champ status, the first concurrent at two weights, November 12, 2016. There's been four total now.
Okay.
In a short ass amount of time.
Total, though?
Champs at the same time, yes.
Yeah, well, yeah, BJ was...
No, not the same time. He wasn't...
Yeah, okay, you're talking about...
Champ. Those guys aren't... Yeah, those dudes got belts in two different divisions, but they weren't the champ at the same time in two different divisions.
Yeah.
So you got Connor who did it first.
Yep.
Cormier did it next.
Okay.
Amanda Nunes has it at 135, 145, and now Cejudo, 125 and 135. Now, Cejudo was also talking reckless, like he might go for 145.
Now you're stepping up to a whole different
yeah,
worm.
Yeah.
Can of worms, brother. Try that shit with Jose Aldo. I think you're going to be getting fucking kneed and punched and... Yeah.
Try that. You're going to fight someone, end up fighting someone like dudes who aren't even anything, have won shit yet.
Even Jeremy Stevens is in that division, bud. Try fucking with that guy.
Yeah, for sure, man.
You better wrestle.
Yeah, I mean, you work your way up to Max. That's a fucking steep task. You got Ortega up there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Zabit.
Frankie's got some game left.
Yair Rodriguez. Like, there's some fucking dudes who haven't even done shit yet who are super dangerous.
Yeah, Cub Swanson might.
Yeah, Lamas got slept this weekend, though.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Calvin Kattar hit him. He threw a looping, I believe it was a looping right. And when his defense went up against the cage, perfect. Just followed through on the left, chin check, knockout. Broke his jaw in three places. Donkey Konged him on the ground. Didn't need to. Ref was just late getting in there.
Lamas has been knocked out a few times now.
Yeah, he's a guy that if he can get you on the ground and get top control, he's still dangerous. But if we're talking just striking on the feet, the game's past him.
Yeah.
He never got to that level.
No, he got to fight Aldo for the title and he got outclassed. I remember being real impressed with his durability. And,
He
ate a lot of leg kicks from
Aldo. That was the night that Aldo's leg kick died to me.
Yeah, it was.
He threw it early, and then it went away, and it never really came back.
Ever in the sport, it never came back. His leg kick, like, there was a point when you could have put him in, like, Pedro Hizo status or Krokop status. People forget. People always think about Krokop head kicking people. Krokop's leg kicks were nasty.
Yeah.
He used to end fights with leg kicks, man. Remember a few guys, Heath Herring, that motherfucker said, fuck it. He just fell to the ground. He got kicked in the leg, back took three steps back, and just fell to the ground. You know, that happened a lot. But Aldo was in that class, man, there for a little while.
Yeah.
It was more of the WEC career, because after he fucked up Uriah, Uriah was walking around on crutches, you know. But, yeah, you're right. The Ricardo Lamas fight was the fight where it seemed to have died.
Yeah, it felt like it, for sure. All right, we'll move down on the card now. Valentina Shevchenko crow-copped Jessica Ai.
How ironic.
Yeah. In the first round, it actually was more of a grappling thing, and she won that, too.
And where is she from, Poland?
No. Kyrgyzstan? Yeah, something I couldn't spell if you gave me $1 million.
Eastern European country.
Yeah, she got called by the president afterwards, like in her post-fight.
Yeah.
So she's a big deal there. She won the title, and she's being touted, as she should. But I don't see her having any fucking threats at 125.
And it's funny how, like, we consider Eastern Europeans, like, Krokop, her, like, Arlovsky's from Belarus, Fedor's from Russia. They're all kind of Russian.
In our minds, they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This the same way an Asian is an Asian, whether they're from fucking China or Japan.
If you said that someone from Iowa was from Ohio, would be pissed.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be pissed, but I'd be like...
Really?
Pretty different.
But not really.
No.
To them, it's the same thing.
Yeah. I just think that's funny.
Yeah. But I don't see her having any threats, man. She won the grappling in the first round. And Jessica is tough. And this is the first she's had to deal with this, because what you're going to see at 125, is even if they started at 165, it's the same thing for men's. You're going to see people come up at first. That's going to be the natural things. People who were cutting too much weight not have to cut the weight. So they're going to be fighting people that are slightly bigger than them. But then there's going to be a couple people that trickle down from the weight class above that think they can make that weight. So that's what Jessica Ai was. She was a 135er, competitive at 135. Came down, you know, and this was her big shot. She got shut the fuck off. Dude, I was actually listening to Jimmy Smith through his, like, post-fight. And he said she got knocked, and he's like, out isn't even the right word. He's like, because he's not, I mean, she got fucked up, man.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like she was moving in, moving slightly to her left. Her feet were like just, she was at a half step. She didn't have her feet playing when she got hit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And just took it right to the temple. That left kick, very Krokop-like. And she went out, arms out to the side, flat on her back. You know what I mean? I'm sure she was probably snoring.
Yeah, one of the scary ones.
And Valentina was going to follow up, seeing what it was, and just put her hand up.
Good thing she didn't.
Yeah. And the ref, I mean, that ref got there quicker than some shit I saw.
Good, yeah.
But still, out.
Yeah, it used to never bother me, man. It's the weirdest thing that it's like, I can't explain it. It never used to bother me a bit. Actually, it's not true. When I was younger, I went through this stage where I was numb to it, though. And then recently, I don't know, within the last few years, I can remember the one that kind of started for me was Derek Lewis and Travis Brown. He was punching him. Lewis was knocking Travis Brown out, and he was out. He hit him with a couple shots, and I remember being like, ugh, stop the fight. And then, like, from then on, it's, like, bothered me a little bit. Like,
much, yeah.
Yeah, or I like when...
Bone Dane did it to Bisping. You're cool, though.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago. Probably during that stage where I was kind of numb to it. Same with Dan knocking out Vanderlei. He did the same thing to him. But another one that was, I was like, ugh, stop, was Ngannou and Overeem, man, when he fucking fought, because the way Reem kind of left his feet, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, does he, you really need to hit this dude again? You're going to fucking go to prison for, not prison, but you're going to kill a dude.
One that bothered me and it wasn't as bad as that was the fucking Cormier and John Jones.
Oh, I know. You were standing out loud as it was happening.
Jesus, how many shots?
Yeah, like.
His face. And
you were like, stop.
The difference is, his face was flat on the mat getting punched in the temple. It's like, dude, you're going to have brain damage. I was like, he's got kids.
Yeah.
It was Big John, too. I remember that. Yeah. Like, what the fuck, man?
DC was pissed at him afterwards and was saying, what the fuck, man? What the fuck was that? You just let me get fucking.
Curb stomped.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, that wasn't one, because the knockout wasn't as graphic. The Ngannou one, Ring left his fucking feet.
Well, left his feet.
We're talking,
man.
A 6'5", 250-pound man.
Yeah.
Left his feet like a fucking,
like, and his neck was benched.
Like
right
the dude
back.
In Snatch. You know what I mean? When Mickey uppercuts him coming up from the mat.
Exactly.
You know
that's
what I mean?
Exactly what it looked like. And then he follows it up with two more with his head up against the ground.
Yeah, it's a bit much. But so I'll say one thing about Valentina, and then we'll go right to the main event here in my mind. Valentina's got no one's challenger, man.
At 125. Yeah, because at 135, she lost to Nunez twice.
The first one, I think she won.
Okay.
The first time they fought, that was a bullshit
that
decision.
That was before
in my
Nunez
mind.
Turned into the monster, too.
And Shevchenko, too, though.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, I know.
But I'll say this. I think they meet a third time. Because I don't think she's going to lose at 125. Amanda Nunes probably has 3 or 4 fights left in her.
Yeah.
She wins a couple more. They'll be able to do the champ versus champ thing, and we'll get to see it again. That's just what I think.
Yeah.
So, for the foreseeable future, I think Shevchenko's rocking women's flyweight. I don't think no one's fucking with her. So, let's just deep dive into Cerrone Ferguson. Let's just go to it. Holy fuck, man. The first round was everything you would want ever in a fight. It was rubber meets the road. Tony's Tony.
Yeah.
Cowboy's Cowboy. Cowboy's usually a slow starter. You know who you don't get to do that against? Ferguson.
Yeah.
He ain't no starting slow. We're starting like the fights in the third round. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So Ferguson comes out, he's Ferguson. You don't spinning elbows the whole, you know, and Cowboy standing in the fire, throwing back. I mean, it was a beautiful first round. It was nuts. Couldn't sit down. You know what I mean? I was on edge the whole first round. I got to give the first round to Ferg, but if you told me you had Cowboy, I couldn't look at you sideways.
Yeah.
It was an all-action first round. Cowboy took him down.
Yeah.
Shit, you know what I mean? Like, it was everywhere.
Cowboy's got some takedowns.
Yeah.
Down. Yeah.
Yeah. And the second, Ferg got his foot in, bud. He was just... And even when Cowboy would land, Ferguson's going in 3 or 4 right now. There is no reset. There is no time for you to... And the way Cowboy fights, he kind of resets a lot. He throws a 3 or 4, ends with a kick, and then has to reset. And
yeah.
Ferg, don't give... There's no time. There's no time. That dude is violence incarnate. He is... For someone who don't look like technical with his hands... His punches are fucking hard, man. He hurts dudes. He rearranges faces. There was a point in time when BJ Penn was doing that to people. You see him fight, their faces look different afterwards.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
The Diego fight comes to mind.
Is there a person that's a bloodier fighter than Ferg? Right now? You're going to bleed. You're fighting Ferguson. You're bleeding. He's bleeding. It's a blood fest.
Robbie Lawler, but yeah.
That's right. But that's,
yeah, it has
I think
to
that's
be somebody like that.
I think
yeah.
that's where we're at now. I think Ferguson took the mantle. I think that's who he is. He's the... There will be blood.
That's great.
Tony Ferguson, there will be blood. So he cracks...
Ferg could fight Robbie.
Yeah.
That could happen.
Yeah, that could happen. That could happen. I'd take Ferg in that.
Yeah, I would too.
That's crazy. But Ferg, man, because Cowboy's taller than him, not longer.
Yeah.
It's a weird build that Ferguson has, but it's... And Ferguson's like 6'5", he's 5'11" and a half or whatever.
Long, you're
Cowboy's
right.
Like 6'1".
Ferg's arms are long, yeah.
His shoulders are wide, the whole thing. It's a weird build, but he makes it work for him. He utilizes everything.
Yep.
He closed Cowboy's eye. I mean, it was getting puffy.
I know, man. It was ugly.
It was getting puffy, and he broke his nose. You could see early in the fight, in the second round, Cowboys started streaming blood pretty good, and he kept messing with it in between. You know what I mean? So you know it's fucking with him.
Uh-huh.
You don't. You know what I mean? Cowboy's not a guy you see touch himself when he fights. Some guys do naturally. Cowboy kept doing it. Kept touching his nose in between combinations. And when, like I said, with Ferguson, there's no time for that. You keep your hand. You better get ready. It's coming. So they go at it. Cowboys definitely on the receiving end of the ass whooping in the second round. And that's a 10-9. It ain't no 10-8. There's no drops or anything, but it's an ass whooping. It's the tide had turned, and you could see what was coming. At the end of the second round, horn blows. Ferguson lands a delayed punch. I'm talking, it's well after the bell. Hard shot. Staggers Cowboy. Mergliotta didn't get in there in time. He didn't dive in when the horn sounded.
Yeah.
They could have took a point from Ferguson. I mean, it was a fucking shot. It fucked Cowboy up, you know what I mean? So there's kind of this little bit of chaos. Well, you don't notice when Cowboy goes over to the corner, he blows his nose.
Yep.
Within 2 seconds, you can see the panic on his face because his eye just shut. It just fucking shut like that, man. I mean, from both angles. Like, he was already heavy on top of his lid with the swelling, but the thing that came up from the bottom, I'm talking, it looked like a butthole.
Yeah.
Just boom.
Yeah, like...
He was trying to shove the air back down. Yeah. Like, he was panicking. You know what I mean? And, of course, the doctors come in. They can't let you fight. They had to go to replay to see if the shot that Ferguson landed after the bell caused that. And they determined because it didn't hit him in the eye, it didn't. It hit him in the nose, which I would argue had more to do with the eye than getting hit in the eye. Because, it's all contingent on Cowboy blowing his nose. So it kind of gives the fight a weird feel. It had a weird ending.
Yeah.
You know? Ferguson was down, too. Like, he was, like, real depressed about it. You could tell. He didn't even... When Joe went to interview him, he said, talk to Cowboy. Which is good. If anything, if Ferguson doesn't get on a mic, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great for him. Because when Cejudo is calling himself the King of Cringe, Tony Ferguson would be like, hold my restraining order.
Yeah.
You want cringe? Here it is, you know? And he let Cowboy talk first. And Cowboy, you can't find a better dude when it comes to just being a man.
Yeah, like, man.
Well, shit, man, I shouldn't have blew my nose. I know, it's my fault.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm old school.
Tony's
a
good fighter. I ought to have kept going. I fucking know you would, buddy.
We not questioning your manhood, Cowboy. You're the craziest dude ever. He's the craziest, like...
Fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it.
I almost died cave diving. I'll do it again.
Fuck it. He was cave diving the weekend that Danny called him for this fight.
Fuck that, dude. I hope we never... I don't want to jinx Cowboy. I don't want nothing bad to happen to him.
But would it surprise you if you woke up and was like, this guy died skydiving?
Yeah, not a bit.
In a wingsuit? Be like, yeah.
Yeah.
He was riding a bull, you don't say.
Like that, which I did, the climbs mountains.
Alex Honnold.
Like, you know, I don't want nothing to happen to that guy, but I wouldn't be surprised. Cowboy puts him and itself in so many different kind of crazy...
And he cage fights for a living.
Yeah, on top of that.
On top of the nutty
shit.
He needs
to cage fight.
It's safer than his extracurriculars. So then Tony does get interviewed finally after Joe interviews Cowboy. And he wasn't screaming incoherent shit. It was probably good that he had a second. Because you could put a mic in Tony's face right after a win. It's, you don't know. He don't know what he's going to say. It's not going to make sense. It's going to be super terrible, you know what I mean? Like, when he beat Pettis, like, Joe asked him a sensible question, and he starts yelling other shit. Like,
yeah.
So he had time to think about it. He said that he don't care what's next, that he'd even rematch Cowboy, which wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but how Tony Ferguson has never fought for the real belt is fucking insanity.
Yeah.
We're talking 12 straight wins. We're not talking at featherweight. We're talking at murder weight, lightweight, the deepest division that's ever existed. 12 straight.
He still hasn't fought Khabib. That needs to happen. I know it's not like... It ain't from lack of trying. I mean, they've scheduled the fight 5 times.
5 times.
Let's do it a sixth.
You got to.
Khabib's
already scheduled to fight Dustin.
Which we think both think he's going to handle business. I mean,
he should, but the way MMA works...
I love Dustin Poirier. That would be great, but come on.
But the way MMA works...
I hear you, but would you bet your life on it?
No, hell no, never. Never, but the path between Khabib and Tony is so murky. Because then even Dana said there, it's like, well, is Tony the clear-cut number one contender? He's like, I don't know. And then an interview was all week. Because
12 in a row.
Here's what will make you sick. They might give out to Connor.
Well, I mean, that's because Connor puts asses in seats and that. So I mean,
he does. But to me, at some point, the legitimacy of the sport actually has to matter. We're talking Tony Ferguson, 12 straight wins at lightweight.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And he's finishing dudes, too. It ain't like these are boring fights. And Tony Ferguson don't have boring fights. It's not possible.
I agree.
I don't know if you want Tony Ferguson to be your champion. I'll give you that.
Well, I mean, he's been the intern.
That don't mean shit. Everybody's been the intern.
Yeah, but with...
You don't want to send him to SportsCenter to talk. What I'm saying. You don't
you
have
him on.
That's my point as far as... It's weird because I don't like Tony's personality at all, but I will never miss a Tony Ferguson.
No, and like even like Nate Diaz, I would send him to SportsCenter, even with his volatile attitude stuff, because Nate is in a chill situation, he could be cool. You know, I could see him bullshitting with, can't think of his name, the boxing guy.
Max Kellerman.
Max Kellerman, yeah. You know, I could see them having some good conversations. Tony would be cringe.
He won't answer your questions. He'll ask a good question.
Yeah.
He'll start talking about Ninja Turtles and shit. You don't know about him.
Yeah, he has almost got a little bit of the Ultimate Warrior in him. You know what I mean? Like, he's like MMA's version
of the... His promos are just off.
They're just out there, man.
Someone's asked him sensible questions. Like, Tony, you know, no one likes to have their personal business, their dirty laundry aired in front of everybody, but you have, you know. And what would you say to people who are concerned for you as a human being, you know, that this might be too soon for you to fight? He's like, fuck you. So you're the type of person that are telling people who are actually concerned about your well-being, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's got... There's a disconnect in his brain between...
Yeah. Clearly.
What's acceptable behavior in society. You know what I mean? So it makes you worry for him. And if you're Dana, too, you want that as a guy's your champion, a guy's...
I don't think he's got a high IQ. Does he seem like a guy that has a high IQ to meet you? I think he's
He tries to sound deep sometimes, which is hilarious. I don't know. God bless Tony Ferguson. I love watching him fight. Yeah. He's one of the most exciting fighters who ever have fought, ever.
Yeah, he's got he's a tamer version of Diego Sanchez. They both have that dumb, like, they don't know any better to them. You know what I mean? They're too dumb to...
Too dumb to know, not know what they don't know.
Yeah.
So they just go forward the way they are.
Yeah.
Accept me or don't want to.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Just Diego.
And the fight game breeds people like that.
Yeah.
So you see more of that than you do in other sports. You know what I mean? That gene you have to be a fighter.
Tell you what, though. I like Diego personally more, though, than Tony. Tony's cringe shit. Like, Diego's funny. Like, the thunderstorm shit. That's hilarious to me. Yeah.
Tony tries to be funny. You know he has some prepackaged shit he's going to say.
Yeah.
And it just always misses the mark.
I don't get that as much with Diego. I don't think he has prepackaged shit. He might have a rough outline of what he wants to say, but like, I think that thunderstorm shit, I believe
that was pure gold off the top.
Yeah, and I believe
channeling the power of thunderstorms.
Not to mention, I believe that he probably did go do that.
Yeah,
like, they're, you know, he probably did go hang out outside during a thunderstorm, screaming, looking up like Lieutenant Dan and fucking Forrest Gump.
Oh man! All right, so lightweight is murky. If you're Ferguson and you know that the Dustin and Khabib's September, if I'm Tony, I stay in shape in case someone falls out of that, because you're the obvious throw the hat in the ring.
Yeah, he makes more sense than Poirier.
But if that fight goes through, and that fight happens, and then you don't know.
Oh, imagine if Khabib's the one that drops out and we get to see Tony versus Poirier. That would be awesome, right there.
Yeah, there's gonna be blood. There will be blood.
Yeah, I'm not sure Poirier could withstand
that,
man.
There will be blood. Well, it made me think of one person. If that fight happens, and Tony, you think Tony wants to sit on the shelf for a year?
No.
And Justin Gaethje, you'd be that dance partner.
Oh, great. That's a great fight, dude.
Gaethje, you'd be that dance partner.
Yeah, that's a great fight, dude.
I think you have to guarantee that fight's for the belt. Like, whoever wins that gets to fight for the belt regardless.
Why not, man? I'd say let's book it right now. If I'm a matchmaker, that's a fight I make for sure. That gives them both a fight. They also both are fighting top-notch, you know. The man, that just makes all the sense in the world.
To me, it does. It
makes all the sense in the world.
The way things are booked up.
Absolutely, man.
And, you know, I don't know. That's where my brain's at with it. So, all right, well, that wraps up UFC 238. Well, I do want to give an honorable mention, Aljamain Sterling. Man, I'm telling you what, if Outside of the
good
main
for him.
Three fights,
I like Aljo.
His movement, I'll show you. We'll have to watch the fight. We'll have to sit down and watch you see that one, man. It was on the prelims.
He's easy to root for. I've been following him for years because he's Matt Serra's guy.
The cornering for the fight. That's what the fuck, Aljo?
Yeah.
Like, you can hear it. Like, it's just, I don't know, man. Masterclass, dude. They need to turn the volume up when those dudes are cornering.
Oh, man.
Because it was, the corner was Longo, Serra, and Iaquinta.
Oh, my God.
That was the corner for the fight.
Oh, man. That's gold right there, man. Yeah, that's what UFC Unfiltered should be.
Yeah.
Them three guys.
Yeah, I'll give you that for sure.
That would be a full, I would tune in every week if it was those three guys.
No doubt. Yeah, it was, that was the best part is you at the end of the rounds. And so he was doing so well that they were like, the shit they were saying to him, because they didn't mind listen to what Munoz's corner said once. Every time, the producer, whoever's running that telecast, knew who to follow going into the corner, so it was beautiful.
Yeah, MMA fans, we all love those guys, too. They're hilarious.
They're real dudes, man.
Yeah. We both been big Matt Serra fans for years, man. I remember, I walked downstairs one day, it was like, what are you into? And you're like, oh, I've been in a fucking 3 hours of Matt Serra videos. You know?
That's back when there wasn't a lot of content, too. Now there's tons of it because of Unfiltered.
UFC smartened up and realized, let's put a fucking mic in front of this dude, man. This guy's, Matt Hughes might be their accomplished champ, but Matt Serra is the greatest personality.
He's an everyman.
Yeah.
Just because I also played football and roomed with Frankie Nunziato, I'm privy to the Long Island Italian dude. Like, that is real.
Yeah.
Like,
they both fucking don't take no shit.
None.
You know what I mean? Like,
Matt can back his up, but...
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, that's every Long Island Italian kid.
Yeah, I admire that mentality. About Frank, though, that he won't take no shit. But that's what Dean Thomas said that he likes about Matt, like when they were talking about why they're friends. And he's like, Matt, he's like, I've never seen him take shit from anybody. You know, Dean was saying that about him. And, man... Every time you watch one of them fucking Dana White looking for a fight, Matt's in a fight with somebody, with some fucking, when they were in Nashville at the, when they went down and hung out with Jerry the King Lawler, he was getting into it with a guy. I was just like, oh my God, Matt.
Everywhere
again?
He goes, he got in a fight in a restaurant in Vegas.
He fucking got the guy in full mail. Fuck, so. Yeah, just saying, calm down. Yeah, it's like, oh my God, Matt, you just...
He can't do it.
No.
Everywhere he goes.
When they were hanging out with Holyfield, he was getting into it with some guy in the stands who were... They were cheering against opposite guys. It was... Matt's the man.
And on that note, we're going to bounce up out of here. Thanks for listening. Punch a hole in their fucking chest.
Yeah.
We're out.